Micah, that's in the Old Testament toward the end. Minor prophet. Micah, the book of Micah. Y'all ever heard of the book of Micah? Then Nahum. And then Habakkuk. Boy, aren't you glad, my youngins, I didn't name you all that. Zephaniah. Yeah, Obadiah, Haggai. Zechariah. Yeah, all these names. Praise God for them.
That's right.
I'm glad I'm Tommy. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. I'm going to do my best to preach what the Lord's laid on my heart this morning. And I hope you have been praying for me. And so I want to look at this. I don't know how far we'll get. But in chapter 6, look at verse number 1. And we'll read down through verse number 8. We're going to make an application this morning. We see the Lord is dealing with His people Israel. And He has, it says several times in one of these verses, that God has a controversy with them. Now, we understand what controversy means, don't we? He has a dispute. He has a complaint with them. And I've had several titles I thought about this message over the years. It's not the first time I've preached this text by any means. But I have titled this, Pleading Present Repentance Because of Past Redemption. In other words, the Lord in this text, He tells them all that He's done for them, all that He brought them from, all that He did. And so now they are walking afar off. They're not living right. So He's pleading their repentance, looking back on what He did for them. He brought them up also out. He brought them out of that mess they were in. But yet they chose to live in it. Folks, we don't have to live in a mess. We don't have to live in sin. Sin shall not have dominion over us. Well, preacher, what do you mean? I still fight it. Yes, but however, we have God's Word. We have God's Spirit. We have access to pray. And God will see us through these things. And Israel here they're walking afar off. But here's the thought I thought about in this text. And many preachers have preached the title in different places. But is God getting what He paid for? That's a good thought in this text. God paid a price for them. He did a great work for them. And is He getting what He paid? Christ paid an ultimate price for us. He gave Himself for us. Are you listening to me? This came to mind. I put it away, but back there in my office, I thought about Jesus. I mentioned this Wednesday night. I'm running rabbits now, Brother Mark. You know, a lot of people say, "Well, we don't need the Old Testament again." I understand that. I understand we're not trying to drag a dispensation. But folks, God gave us this for our learning. And I mentioned this Wednesday night. People say, "Well, you cannot see Jesus. Christ is not in the Old Testament," and that's hogwash. He's all through it. And so I thought about, especially this time of year, the book of Isaiah, the major prophet that was able to proclaim Christ and the coming Christ. Other prophets did so as well, but man, did Isaiah get a word on it. And I thought about in Isaiah, he gave us Christ's sign, S-I-G-N, Christ's sign in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, now He said, get this. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. Folks, that verse right there gives us the deity of Christ. Thou shalt call His name Emmanuel, being interpreted what? God with us. He's God. So with the sign that He gave them, He let them know God's coming. Amen. He said God's coming. He did too, praise God. Then we see Christ's significance. Isaiah 9:6, for unto you a child is born. Unto us. a child is born, but unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We see his deity, but in this verse we see his dominion. You got to remember, folks, he came the first time as a lamb. And I'm going to talk about that here in Isaiah 53. He came as a lamb. But when he comes back, he's coming as a lion. To rule and reign. Let me tell you something, folks. This system, the world system now, is going to pot, as the old timers would say. But I'm telling you, folks, there's one coming again. Oh, yeah, we're going up in the rapture, but we're coming back to earth again. There'll be 1,000 years millennial reign. Christ will sit on the throne and rule and reign for 1,000 years. Amen. His dominion. But then we see Christ suffering. And I'm reading just some excerpts out of Isaiah 53. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's Christ's distress. You get a hold of this, folks. If you ever read Isaiah 53, everything Jesus Christ went through was for us. It was for us. You out here, you may be in the auditorium and you may be watching and you want to deny his existence. You want to deny the word of God. You want to become an agnostic. Question God, question his word, doubt his word, deny his word, distort his word, hate his word. You in a bad position, friend. You won't reject Christ. You don't live your life without Jesus. That ain't right. You're in trouble. Judgment's coming. You can laugh at it. You can scoff it. You can ignore it. But Jesus is coming. You better be ready. At an hour you think not, the Son of Man comes. That's right. At an hour you think not. Well, he won't come at Christmas. We having too much fun. There's cookies to eat. Amen. Parties to go to. Gifts to buy. Hey, he could come right in the middle of your Christmas dinner. He could come before the cookies are baked. In an hour, you think not. The Son of Man comes. You better be ready. You better be ready. How do I get ready? Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Did I read Micah yet? I knew that. I'd check it. Hear ye now, the Lord saith, arise, contend there before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's, listen, controversy. And ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. Oh, my people, what have I done unto thee? This is Christ publicly speaking out to Israel. Oh, my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, man, we see that it's a lamentation. Oh, my people, God is lamenting here. He's crying out here. to his people. There's urgency there. There's hurt there. There's a little bit of anger there. Righteous indignation. Oh, my people, remember now, verse 5, what Balak, king of Moab, consulted. And with Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. You remember that? Well, back in Numbers chapter 25, excuse me, I'm slowing down. Numbers 22 through chapter 25, when that wicked king of Moab went to that ungodly prophet and offered him all this stuff, if he'd go to God and get God to curse his people. Sent him what? Was it three times? I don't remember. Three times. And God said, I'm paraphrasing, I ain't doing that. And Balak, he got upset. Send him again. Same answer. Send him again. Same answer. Folks, you understand, you're not going to go to God and ask God to curse one of his people. That prayer is mute. Bible said, pray for your enemies. Huh? Those that despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you. Hey, you can rejoice in that because God said, hey, he didn't say bad mouth them. He didn't say lie on them. He didn't say stir up discord. He said pray for those. He didn't say run them down. He didn't say try to curse them, try to hurt them, try to ruin the testimony. He didn't do anything. He said pray for them. When's the last time you prayed for one of your enemies? Sincerely. I got news for you. Ain't nobody going to fix nothing unless God does it. You get your mouth in it, it's going to make it worse. If you're not coming with humility and your heart's desire is to set things right and make it right, not trying to tear someone down to make you look bad, good. God told Balak, I'm not doing that. Well, what a text. He said, verse 6, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. See, they wanted to do all these rituals and all these works, but still live ungodly. Well, I go to church. Well, I tithe. Well, that's what they said. You knew all this stuff in abundance. Here's what I want, he said. He hath showed me, O man, what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. There's three or four things. I don't know what time it is, but hang with me. I want to use by application in that text. Now, again, chapter 6 is Micah's really third and final message from God to these people. It's clear that God's people are not living in accordance to the will of God, the word of God, and the way of God. It's clear. It's very clear. So he has a controversy with them. Again, folks, God loves the church. Christ loved it so much, he gave himself for it. And I'm wondering, and I'm speaking of me as much as anybody, not preaching at you, I'm preaching to you. Because I have problems. Sometimes I'm not consistent. Sometimes I am not faithful. Well, preacher, you hear every time the door is open. That's not the only place as a Christian to be faithful in. That's just one. So I need this. I need a word. So I want to notice. Let me give you. We see in verse 3, the Lord gives a request. There is supplications being made. Look at verse number 3. Oh, my people. Here's the request. He wants them to answer your question. What have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Then he says, hey, I want you to testify against me. The Lord opened this thing up and said, hey, why are y'all turning your back on me? Why am I becoming in? Why are you, hey, you giving me the silent treatment? You mad at me? You turned against me? He said, I want to know something. He made it personal. He said, oh, my people. He didn't beat around the bush. He pointed them out. Then he made it practical. What have I done unto thee? I want to know. There is a gap between us. Sin has separated us, and there's no fellowship there. You're not walking with me. I want to know, what have I done to cause it? I'm going to ask you something, church. What has the Lord done to cause you to walk afar off? What has he done to you? What has he done to you that you don't pray, you don't talk to him? What has he done to you that you won't let him speak to you? What has he done to you? See, folks, let me tell you something. No matter what, if somebody has done you wrong, if something's happened, the Lord didn't do it. It's amazing when there's problems that we automatically walk away from God's house. We automatically walk away from truth. We automatically run away, and we think we're hurting the church, or we're hurting the preacher, or we're hurting other people, but you understand you're hurting the Lord. What has he ever done to you that would cause that? I'm asking sincerely, what is God? What is the Lord? It's a personal request. It's a pitiful one. Wherein have I wearied thee? How has the Lord wearied thee? What is it? I mean, honestly, think about it. People drove in vehicles, clothes, homes. How's God wearied you when he has given to you? People that's giving to you and gracious to you does not weary you. They bless you. So the Lord, he said, testify against me. It's powerful. Oh, my people, what have I done unto thee? Have I wearied thee? Testify against me. And I want y'all want to hear, what have I done? You'll notice nobody replied. Nobody could indict him. Nobody could point a finger at him. Nobody could accuse him. But it silenced them. I think about my own life. If I fall tomorrow, if I quit tomorrow, if I allow a person or a circumstance or a pain or a problem make me walk away, I'll never be able to indict God. All I can say is God's been good in my life.
Amen.
He's done nothing but good to me. He's never wearied me. I can testify nothing against him. Neither can anybody here. We look at the circumstance, we look at the problem, look at the situation, we look at things, we look at spouses, we look at children, we look at friends, and then, folks, can I say something to you? Some of you, you say, boy, our preacher's a good man, he's a godly man, and I want to be, but you couldn't live with me 24 hours a day. Now, I don't go off and do this. You understand? But you'll find out I'm flawed. I'm flawed. My wife got on my nerves this morning. I cleaned up my truck yesterday. Worked hard on it. I get up, curtain back. It's raining. I said, well, I should have looked at my weather app before I'd done all that. I can't believe I'd done that. I was grumbling. My wife said, well, ain't it good you like to do that? I said, hey, don't go to doing that. Don't do that. She said, well, you do it to me. You'd see, preacher is kind of like us. Huh? I'm not bragging on anything, but folks, God, I need him. And when I walk in here and I see this great congregation, I see a great choir and great people to worship and serve God with, I have nothing to say against him. Amen. Nothing to say against him. He's been good to me.
Yes.
He is good to me. More than I'll ever deserve. If I walk away, what a sorry person I'd be. If I quit on God now, went to the way of the world, went to something liberal, and threw away this old King James Bible and what God's been doing in another, hey, I'd be one sorry Christian. And somebody comes along and hurts my feelings, and I walk away. Something's preached to go against the grain of my flesh, I walk away. Hey, you're a sorry Christian. Because God's been nothing but good. The Lord's been nothing but good. What a God. He pointed out to Israel, said, hey, I want to know right now. Let's get this thing straightened out. Let's bring thee. Hey, he's publicly calling them out. I want to know, what have I done to thee? Wherein have I wearied thee? He just saved them from Egypt's bondage. He supplied every need, fed them in the wilderness while they were fussing about it and cussing about it and going to idols. God still showed them grace and mercy and fed them and gave them water on dry ground. And a little bit of adversary comes by, a little bit of hardship comes by, a little bit of resistance from somebody comes by, and we say, I'm done, I quit. You're a sorry Christian. And so would I be. So would I be. We're so sensitive and offendable and just plain petted rotten by God. And then we think God owes, he don't owe us anything. The Lord made a request. Folks, can I tell you something? I want to be transparent. I want you to know that I live in the same body of flesh you do. And I believe in living righteous and holy and precious to the mark. But I also want you to know your preacher has same problems you got. God saved me at an early age. How did I repay him for saving me? I walked afar off for a few years. My heart was distant from God, sitting in a church pew every time the doors was open. My mind was carnal. My thinking was carnal. I had a rebellious spirit. Are you listening to me? I was one. I'm telling you right. I was one that puffed up at the preacher if he preached clear like this. Yes, sir. See, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Anytime I've had trouble with young people not paying attention to talking, anytime I've had people get upset, God is reminding me, hey, how's that feel? Because I was there. Saved at 13 years old. But up until I was about 19, I walked afar off. I had a carnal nature that I was letting run my life. Wasn't nobody going to tell me anything different. And some instances in my pastorate, I'm reaping that I sowed. Sometimes I say, Lord, how long do I reap it? I've had to go back to a former pastor and apologize for my rebellious spirit, him trying to preach God's word to me, him trying to help me. He'd preach against something, I'd do it for spite. I'm telling you, you're right. That's what I did. I mean, I was carnal. Preach on my sin, I'll show you. I'll sin more. I'll do it again. Thought I was all that. God fixed me. He put me in a place by myself where no family, no sweetheart, nobody was around me. He stuck me on a second shift. I felt like I was isolated from everything in the world, and he began to deal with me about my rebellious heart. Pointed out his goodness in my life and took me back to the day he saved my soul and began to show me how I erred in my ways and how I had a rebellious spirit and rebellious heart, and he was going to deal with me. I found myself asking God, oh, I'm so sorry. I finally saw myself as a rebellious child of God. I finally saw myself as carnal and ungodly. Mullets and 80s music. And 450 watts of speaker. You could hear me coming a mile away. One of God's children. What a sorry Christian I was. Going through town, looking at the mirrors, windows, and see me going by, and I thought I was all that, and God was showing me, you're a rebellious child. Hey, I'm going to get you. Me ignoring it the whole time. I don't know why I'm preaching this, I'm just preaching it. Me ignoring it. Me still doing my own thing, but he got me. That's mercy. He could have killed me. I think back on those few stretch of years, and I see where I could have died here. I could have died there. I could have lost my life over here. But God saw me. He still loved me. He still hedged me. And one day he put me in a place. All these distractions Satan was throwing my way was out of the picture. No parents, no girlfriend, no friends around me. He straightened me out with arms of love and mercy and grace. Oh, how he dealt with this rebellious 18, 19 year old boy. I went from 14, 15 to right, well, 18. And God, man, I think about the time I've wasted. I think about the difference I could have made. I think about the lost opportunities of shining light. I think about people now, when they remember me back then, it's not positive. Whoa, that hurts my heart to know I did that. God had a controversy against me. He had a controversy against me. And oh, how he lovingly but sternly. Folks, can I tell you something? When the Lord saved me, he dealt with me in private. Woke me up, just me and him. Everybody else at the house was dead of the world. One last time. It was just me and God. Wasn't a thing I could say that it was so-and-so's fault or so-and-so caused it. It was just me and God in a bedroom. He saved me. That summer, I blessed the Lord. But I went back to school and I just began to drift, began to drift, began to drift, began to drift. And then he got me alone again. And he brought it to my attention in a way that I could not deny. I didn't have a preacher to point at and say, oh, you're just meddling. You're singling me out. I didn't have that. I couldn't look at a parent and say, y'all just fussing at me and trying to do this in my life. I couldn't even point at them. I couldn't point at Kim. Say, she's trying to pull me and push me in a way that she wants. I couldn't point at anybody. It was just me and God. And all I could do was surrender at his feet. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm rebellious. I'm carnal. I'm worldly. And I know you fixing to really bring the chastening rod my way. God was letting me know I'm about to ruin your life. I'm about to expose you. I'm about to do something in your life publicly. He made it clear. And rededicating my heart. Confessing my sin, getting right with God. Open that Bible, begin to read it daily. My sweetheart was reading hers, and at night she'd bow on her knees at her bed and pray in the dark by herself. Her parents would come in to sleep, but she'd be on her knees, but not her boyfriend. God came by. He told me the truth. Boy, when I got it right, okay, it went long. God called me to preach. I don't know if the Lord would have called me to preach earlier. I don't know. But I, as a big probability, I wasted time. I could be a few years farther along in ministry. But I decided I wanted to live for me. Folks, Israel was not seeing, and I know my time's gone. Israel was not seeing where they could be. You understand, the most powerful nation in the world, because it was created by God. And folks, then God turned to America to be the nation to spread the gospel, and look how far we have fallen. And then as Christians, personally, what has God done to you? Folks, don't get the mentality that everything you have and everything you've accomplished is because you're just that good. God ordained that in your life to use that in your life. And if we allow the blessings of God to get us away from the will of God and being faithful for God, He can take it back. He can take it back. Honor the Lord with all thy substance, God said. With everything He's given you, honor Him with that. You bring honor to God with your life. Give God the glory. Church, I've not preached. I'm apologizing, Brother Mark. I've not preached really but one point of this message, and I'm not going to carry on and preach the other three. I might tonight. I don't know. We'll see. But God has stirred my heart right here. And He has, I don't know the right word, but He has made me just tell y'all about me. Somebody, they might be a young person here today. You're saved, but you're walking so far away from God. You're carnal. You're at church today, but your mind's not, your heart's not, your body is. Preacher, how you know? I have lived it. I have lived it. I have sat through sermons, honestly, the whole time. I've sat in Sunday school classes the whole time. Never listened. Back way, 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 way before a cell phone. The devil had my mind. My flesh was, I was thinking about ungodliness and where to go find fun, where to go, just get out of here. It's bondage. You're here, and your heart's there. I know it is, God. I know it is. Somebody, your heart's there. You're saved. You're God's child, but your heart and mind is so carnal and so rebellious against truth and God's word and God's way. But what has He done to you? Look at the clothes you have on. Look at the things you have possessed. Look at the parents He give you, give them strength to provide these things for you. Look, folks, all that is, every good gift comes from above. What has He done to you? How has He wearied thee? Help me, Lord. Let's all stand. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking on but me and the Lord. Folks are coming if you need to come.